Well, hey, good morning. So glad that you could join us today. This is kind of our at-home edition coming to you from Great Falls, Montana. I'm in my grandma's house right now, and for your convenience, all of the terrifying dolls have been removed. That's right. Well, we are wrapping up our series called Stronger. And what we believe, and we really do, is that in the midst of all of the difficulties that our world is going through, maybe that you're going through, and I believe that God wants to use this season to help us not just get through it, but to be better because of it. And the big idea we've been talking about is that God has given us everything that we need, not just to survive, but to thrive. And here's the reason that we say this. It comes from the Apostle Paul's prayer that he prays over and to a group of churches that were in the southern region of Turkey. And he says this, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. He says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given those he's called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Also pray that you'll understand the incomparable greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. And so Paul's prayer for these churches and for us also is that in the deepest part of who we are, that we would understand three things. The first one is that we would understand the hope that God invites us to. That no matter what, no matter what season or situation, God wants to live, or wants us to have an incredible level of hope in our lives. The second thing is that he prays that we would understand deeply how important we are to God. And in fact, Paul says that you and I and his people are God's inheritance. That's how important you are. And then here's the third thing is that you would understand deeply the power that's available to every single one of us, that you are not powerless. See, we, every single one of us, have power that God wants to give us. You've been given everything that you need, not just to survive, but to thrive. Well, how? How do we access that power that God has for us? Well, we've talked about several things. We've talked about the power of God's word in our life, that when we dive into God's word, it unleashes power in our life. We've talked about the power of prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the power of surrender. Today, I want to talk to you about God's power in our lives being unleashed through weakness. Now, what's interesting about this idea of weakness is that when you look at the story of the Bible versus the story of the U.S., you get two very distinct realities. When you think about this, who are the heroes of the U.S.? I mean, typically speaking, it's the powerful, the wealthy, the influential. It's those that have a platform, those that are best at something, those that have the most, that control the most. It's the self-made, the get it done. It's the Rockefellers and Carnegies, the Jeff Bezos, the Steve Jobs. And it's not that there's nothing in there. It's not that there's something inherently wrong with success, because there's not. It's just that it's the exact opposite of what the story of God shows us. Because when you look at the Bible, who are the heroes of the Bible? Who are those that God uses so powerfully? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, it's something called the Hall of Faith. It's the greatest of the great. And what is it that made them so great? It was that in the worst or the most difficult of circumstances, they chose to believe who God is and what he says, even in the midst of the most difficult situations. And out of their weakness, out of their powerlessness, God used them powerfully. You think about the examples that the writer uses in Hebrews 11. Think about Noah. Noah believed God enough to build a boat in preparation for a flood, even though nobody had ever even heard of rain before. Abraham and Sarah believed God enough for a son of promise, even though they were old enough that no miracle drug would help. You think about Rahab, she was a prostitute. Gideon was the least and the weakest of his family and of his tribe. David, the least of his brothers, his father didn't even think him worthy to bring before Samuel, who is looking for the next king. And in this summary of all the saints throughout the ages, the writer, this is what she says, Hebrews 11, 33 through 34, it says, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions and quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword. And all of these things sound so great, but listen to this next part. Whose weakness was turned to strength. in the worst, the most difficult of circumstances, they chose to believe who God is and what God says. And out of their weakness and powerlessness, God used them in a powerful way. Here's the word I want you to hear this morning, is that out of weakness came great power. I think one of the greatest examples of this in scriptures is the Apostle Paul. In fact, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he had what was called a thorn in the side or a thorn in the flesh. And we don't know what this thorn in the side was. Some people say it was his eyesight. One commentator said it was probably his wife, which will just tell you what his relationship was like. But ultimately, we don't know what this thorn in the flesh was. But what we do know is what this thorn represents. A thorn in the side represents the pain that we can't remove and God doesn't seem to be willing to remove. It's the season or the circumstance or the situation that's so painful for us that we don't want in our lives, but God doesn't take it away. And what the Bible says is three times the Apostle Paul, he begged. He's basically saying, God, I'm pleading with you. Now, please take this away three times over and over. And God basically said, I could do this, but I've decided that I'm not going to do this. And in fact, my answer, Paul, is no. Why? Because I'm going to do something that's even better than take it away. And you may not understand right now, but I'm going to teach you that my grace is all that you need. My power works best in weakness. See, you see, Paul, I could do that, but I'm not going to. You know, I think about our season, our church, and some of you are You're going through incredible difficulties, and you've prayed, and it seems like God is not answering that prayer. And you need to understand something this morning, is that when God doesn't seem to be doing anything around you, I guarantee you that God is wanting to do something in you. God says to Paul, I'm not going to take it away because I'm going to teach you a lesson that will transform your life. You see, God could have healed Paul, but he wouldn't have learned to rely on God's power when he had none of his own, and he wouldn't have ever been able to accomplish all that God wanted to do in and through Paul. You see, God could have healed Joni Erickson Tada after her diving accident. She was a quadriplegic. She had gone through this incredible season of depression, tried to kill herself. But Joni learned something incredibly powerful in the season of weakness. This is what she said. She said, the weaker we are, the more we must rely on God. And now, even though she's not healed in the way that she had originally asked, she's now got this dynamic ministry around the world, leading people to Jesus and providing wheelchairs to the most impoverished and disabled around the world. You see, God could have made Nick Vujicic quote-unquote normal, but instead he was born with no legs and no arms. He was instead born abnormal, and praise God, because you know what normal is today? It's two arms and two legs and broke and in debt and divorced, and now Nick is traveling all around the world leading millions of people to Jesus. You know, it was the Apostle Paul that was writing to this fledgling church in a drunken port city in Corinth that said this. He says, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they're wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. And God chose things that are despised by the world, things that counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. And as a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. See, three times in this passage, Paul says that God chose. Who did God choose? He chose the foolish, he chose the powerless, and he chose the despised. I think for many of us, you know, we try so hard to be powerful in some area of our life that we choose that God's power is always unleashed in our weakness and not in our strength. Yeah, I think about the dichotomy between what our culture says. Our culture says you've got to have everything together. You've got to always be strong and you've got to always have things under control. And then you compare that to what the scriptures say, is that weakness is not a liability, but it's a pathway for God's power in your life. And so do you feel weak? That's good. Allow God to work in you. Do you feel inadequate? That's good. Allow God to work through you. Do you feel like you're at the end of your options? That's good. Allow God to work on you, because weakness is not a liability. It's a pathway for God's power in your life. Let me just offer a little bit of perspective here, because, you know, I think the tendency is for us to always want to have things in control. We always want everything to be good. But the reality is that we all go through seasons. We experience seasons of joy, and we experience seasons of sorrow. We experience seasons of darkness and loss. We experience seasons of victory and defeat. In other words, you know, it's not possible for us to not experience times of weakness or sorrow. And I think one of the greatest temptations in our walk with Jesus is to think that we should always be experiencing victory in every area of our life. We should always be experiencing victory in our marriage and in our job and in our parenting and our health, and nothing should ever go wrong in our lives. In fact, there's a term for that. It's called a Deuteronomic theology, which means basically if I do good, things should always be blessed, and if I do bad, things will always be cursed. And I think while scripturally that's generally true, I think we in the U.S. tend to define blessing more in terms of the American dream and not in terms of what the Bible says. And so when we experience pain or a setback or suffering, we automatically think, God, what did I do wrong? And the truth is, for most situations, it's probably just a season. It may be a short season of job layoff, or, you know, maybe a longer season of an ongoing health issue, but ultimately it's a season, because we know that this world and this life is not all that there is. And I think that if we can remember that, and I think it helps us to open up our eyes to the reality that even in seasons of weakness or pain or difficulty, it's ultimately a pathway for God's power to be demonstrated in our lives. Just like the Apostle Paul. Just like Joni Erickson Tada, just like Nick Vujicic, and for the many people who have learned to lean into God in times of weakness. I mean, listen to the rest of this verse. Paul says, God says this to Paul, my grace is all you need, my power works best in weakness. And so this is what Paul says. Here's his conclusion. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness. Listen to this. So that the power of Christ can work through me. See, God's no in one area of his life was a much bigger yes in another area of his life. I mean, think about this passage of scripture. For those of you that are parents, I mean, if you told your kids that they could ask you for anything at any time and you would help them, of course you wouldn't mean that you would help them get drugs if somehow they had become delusional and thinking that would be good for them. You wouldn't, of course, mean that you would give them anything that would harm them. You'd mean that you would help them get anything and you would do anything that was ultimately for their good. And so now think about the Apostle Paul. See, God knew that this thorn was really what Paul needed in his life. That even though Paul asked God passionately many, many times, God said no to this thing so that he could say yes to something even greater in Paul's life. See, this idea of God's grace being sufficient for us, or all that we need, means that if it's good for you, God's grace is enough to give it to you. And if it's bad for you, God's grace is enough to keep it from you. This passage of scripture, I mean, it's interesting when you study it. In the Greek language, the first words of this sentence are, all you need. That's how the verse starts. The verse starts with, all you need. And in Greek construction, the first words are usually the ones that carry the greatest emphasis. In other words, if you look at this passage, it's not about our weakness. No matter how great your weakness may be, it's about God's grace being all that we need in every single situation that we find ourselves in. That as our weakness and our need and our dependency on God increases, so does his power also increase in our lives. And so when your strength is gone, or when you feel like you're at the end of your capacity, or when you're tired, that's when all of the barriers to God's power being at work in your life are finally removed, and you can know that you're now ready to receive God's power in your life. I'll tell you this, is that weakness is really the secret strength of God's most effective saints. They know that when they're weak, that's when God's strength is best at display in their life. See, I think about my life that God and I, we really have a great partnership. I bring the weakness and God brings the strength. And so Paul has understood this, and so he can say, so now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. The Greek word for work through is the Greek word episkenu, which means to pitch a tent upon it and then to live inside of it. Interestingly, this is the same word, it's the verb form of the word that John uses in John chapter 1, verse 14, in fact, that Hugh Halter used last week. It says that, so the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Dwelt among is the same word. So the word became a human and made his home among us. It's the same word that Paul is using here. In other words, in weakness, the power of Jesus makes his home among us. And because Paul understood and knew this truth, he was able to say with all confidence, I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses. Why? So that he could get the power that makes its home in weakness. Now, let me bring this home and just offer two quick closing thoughts. And here's the first one, is that when you deeply understand this truth, when you understand this, number one is that weakness is never a liability for the Christian. When you understand what God wants to do in and through weakness in your life, you understand that weakness is never a liability for the Christian. That if you're in your weakness, you turn to Jesus, you will never be worse off because of that situation or that scenario. You'll never have to think, man, if only this didn't happen in my life. You'll never have to think, if only this wasn't my situation in life. Because even if God doesn't answer your specific prayer in that instance, you know that God is always working for your good, and he is going to use that situation or that season for good in your life. See, weakness is never a liability for the Christian. Here's the second thing is that weakness is ultimately an asset in your life. See, I've never known a follower of Jesus who wasn't ultimately benefited by his difficulties. I've never known somebody that would be willing to trade all of the advantages that were gained in the midst of difficulties for all of the most uninterrupted success that the world could give. See, weakness is ultimately an asset in our lives. In fact, this is what the Bible teaches. In James chapter 1, verse 2 through 3, it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, what's he say? Consider it an opportunity for great joy. When trials come, it's an opportunity for great joy. Why? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. In other words, weakness, setbacks, difficulties have no capacity to set you back if you receive them in the proper way. Paul says this in a later place, 2 Corinthians 4. He says, for our present troubles, they're small, and they're not going to last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. And so we don't look at the troubles that we can see right now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that we can't see. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things we can't see will last forever. I'm telling you, though, this is a really mature theology. The ability to know how to turn your setbacks into assets. How do we do this? Well, we've got to shift our perspective. See, you don't have to love your problems. You don't have to love your pain, but you can love what you know that God is going to do in and through them. You don't have to want difficulties, but you can love to experience the all that God wants to do in and through them. And so let me just say to you right now, if you're having difficulties of any kind, would you hear what God says to you today? That my grace is sufficient for you. If you're having financial struggles, would you hear my grace is sufficient for you? If you're having family troubles, would you hear this? That my grace is sufficient for you. If you feel weak or helpless or unable, would you hear this? That my grace is sufficient for you. See, it doesn't mean that you have to accept the situation or you've got to roll over, but it does mean that you can receive the grace that God wants to give you in the situation to move forward in power. See, this free and matchless and undeserved grace of God is sufficient for all of his people, that whatever state you're in, whatever stage you're in, whatever trouble, whatever difficulty that you're in, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Let me read this one more time to you. Paul says this, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and in insults and in hardships and persecutions and difficulties. Listen, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. I pray for every single one of us, wherever you're at right now, that you would and we would discover afresh the all-surpassing sufficiency of the grace of God in our lives. God bless you.